Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
President Trump deems churches to be essential. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, during a press briefing in May at the White House, President Trump deemed that churches and houses of worship are essential and that, quote, in America, we need more prayer, not less, close quote. That's a great quote from the President of the United States. And certainly, I think we should have had that kind of a conversation at the very beginning of these COVID orders that have been coming out by governors. None of these governors, or virtually none of them, deemed these churches to be essential. And they've always been essential. They've always been essential in what they do. Unfortunately, some people from a secular mindset, they don't even think of churches being essential. And they think, well, they can just dictate the kind of worship. They can tell you to shut down, that you have to go online. And they put this template across all these churches. That's not only wrong, it's unconstitutional. Churches have always been essential. And what should have happened at the very beginning is churches should always have been an essential category. And they can follow guidelines like any other organization that's open. The big box centers, the super centers, the Walmarts, Home Depots, whatever it might be, they can follow guidelines to provide health and safety. But frankly, the government has no business dictating to all churches how it should worship. And that's exactly what it has been doing in many of these states when it says that your form of worship has to only be online, not in person. That's contrary to Christian doctrine and through the history of the church, where the government is dictating how churches are to worship.
Absolutely. You know, I think it might be a good idea to send those governors a copy of the Constitution so they can understand the First Amendment was written for churches. It wasn't written for Walmart or for liquor stores or abortion clinics or big box centers. It was written for the churches. The churches are essential. That's why the founders wanted to protect it.
Yeah, and the president said that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention will issue new guidelines, and they already did, that houses of worship are essential. And he also said he chastised the governors, and he really focused on a couple, and so did the Department of Justice, but he chastised the governors, and there was really two big problematic governors, Governor Newsom in California and Governor J.B. Pritzker in Illinois. Well, we took care of Governor Pritzker because after dragging him to the Supreme Court in our case with the Romanian churches, he removed all restrictions on churches.
Right.
So he said, the president said this, some governors have deemed liquor stores, abortion clinics as essential, but have left our churches out. It's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential. I call upon governors, he said, to allow our churches and houses of worship to open right now. If they have any questions, they're going to have to call me. But they won't be successful, he said. I love that.
They'll get a busy signal.
They won't be successful. He said the governors need to do the right thing and allow these very important essential places of faith to open right now for this weekend. If they don't do it, I will override the governors. In America, we need more prayer, not less.
And, you know, at Liberty Counsel, we've sued four of those governors in those blue states. Kentucky, we've seen success. Our Maryville Baptist Church is now able to worship freely without the police showing up and giving these citations. And we're still dealing in Virginia and Maine, right?
Right. And then in Illinois, our case is still going on.
Right.
But all the restrictions are gone. Mm-hmm. All of them are gone. So just like in Kentucky, all the restrictions are gone. In Illinois and Kentucky and Florida, all of the restrictions
right.
are gone. We didn't file suit in Florida, but we were hours away from it.
It was close.
And this happened on a Wednesday. April 1 was a Wednesday. We were filing on Thursday. So we were very close to filing. It would have been the first lawsuit in the country on these issues. But Governor DeSantis in Florida removed all the restrictions instantly, just like they were all gone as of April the 1st. Yeah. So that was a great victory there, and we didn't have to file suit. Florida really was the leader in the entire country, and it was because a pastor got arrested.
Right. So as a result, Hillsborough County, in which his church resides, they also had to change those restrictions and free up the churches there to meet.
So the question is, how can the president enforce this? Well, some governors already have responded. In fact, within a few days, he made this announcement on a Friday. And by Monday, which was Memorial Day, the governor in California already began relaxing some of the restrictions. Now, they were still onerous, but they were worse before the president spoke. And he did remove some of the restrictions. The restrictions there were like 25% of the building or 100 people, whichever is less. Now, that's a real problematic number, whatever is less, when you have 100 people in a 5,000-seat or, 1,000-seat sanctuary. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So what happened is the litigation in California is still ongoing in other cases where there's a number of lawsuits going on. But on Pentecost Day, the last Sunday in May, thousands of churches literally opened up around the country, and a lot of those were right there in California.
Absolutely.
And not a single problem.
Exactly. The pastors, they said enough is enough. We've abided by your rules, Governor, but this has been too long. And They did.
And a lot of them around the country did. They opened for the very first time on Pentecost. Others opened in May the 3rd when we launched at the very end of April our Reopen Church movement. And that has been something that went nationwide. And we've been working with churches all over the country, including in the United Kingdom and South America. Also working with Pastor Rodney, who's been working in South Africa, where some restrictions have been released there as well. They still have a lot of awful things happening in South Africa and other places around the world. But the president said that churches are essential. I'm very happy that he made that statement, because how can he actually enforce it? Well, in one way, it's just making the statement. That ultimately puts pressure on these governors, and it emboldens the pastors and others to support the pastors as the churches reopen. That's number one. So it's like the bully pulpit, if you will.
Right.
That's what it's always been called, because you got the megaphone there that you can speak to the world. And that's what the president did. And that message is not just for the United States. Certainly it's for us. But that reverberates around the world as well.
Right.
Because other nations are watching us, and they're watching how we're dealing with these issues. The other way is through funding. And certainly the president can restrict certain funding that the states are getting with regards to COVID funding. And the third way is directing the Department of Justice to investigate these restrictions that are happening against churches. And that's what the Department of Justice has been doing. Yeah, they filed a brief in our Virginia case on behalf of the pastor there who received a criminal citation for attending church service with 16 people, and he was part of the 16 count. 16 in a sanctuary that seats 293 people. That's what it's rated for. You had 16 in the sanctuary, and that includes the pastor and any other pastoral team. So it's a pastor and a few others and a small group of people.
Right.
Spread out throughout this nearly 300-seat sanctuary.
And this church is like family to so many of these people. The pastor has had to increase his services in order to accommodate this rule, but these people depend on this church.
Yeah, the people depend upon this church, and it's an amazing ministry. This church does not have internet.
No.
So when you think about, your church just went online, that's your church. Mm-hmm. But there's 500,000 churches, 500,000 or so churches in the country. And take this church, Lighthouse Fellowship Church in Virginia. It does not have internet, so it cannot broadcast online.
Right.
And moreover, many of the people do not have internet. My mother-in-law and father-in-law, they have barely internet. Sometimes of the day, they don't have any internet, but they could never watch a video transmitted online. So there's lots of people in the country like that. There's other people that just don't even have access to it.
But, in this Virginia church, one thing that really touched me, Matt, is that the pastor has a trash can at the front. So that when people want to throw away their addictions, their cigarettes, their alcohol, their drugs, they can do it right there in the physical presence of everyone.
Come there and throw away that.
You can't do that online.
No, you can't do that online. There's a lot of things you can't do online.
Right.
You can't feed online. You can't touch somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be across the them and give them a hug. You can't give them encouragement online in the same way. For support groups, you can't do that online in the same way. There's things you can do online, but there's other things you can't do online. And at any rate, what you can and cannot do is none of the government's business. The government doesn't have the right to tell you how to worship. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776.